Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Shirley Halperin, executive editor of music at Variety, and today on the podcast we have Steve Martosi, the founder and CEO of Splice. Splice is an online music marketplace where, for a monthly fee, creators can acquire the parts that make up music and use them fully licensed and royalty-free. So we're talking about things like loops, one-shots, or specific drum beats that can be used and manipulated, different instruments and sounds that are both synthetic and analog. With 2 million sounds and 4 million users, Splice has become the go-to for hitmakers and novices alike, and its DNA can be heard on songs by some of the most popular artists of today. Artists like Dua Lipa, Justin Bieber, Doja Cat, and even, rumor has it, Adele. How it works is a little like this. If you're looking for a particular African drum beat, the Splice Senegal sessions might have the ticket in the form of an instrument sample or loop. There are more than 500 from that particular pack to choose from. Multiply that by every sound imaginable, and you have a sense of the Splice ecosystem. When Steve Martosi founded Splice in 2015, he'd already had plenty of experience as an entrepreneur, and a successful one at that. He was a co-founder of Blade, the helicopter ride-sharing service, and of GroupMe, a group text messaging service that was acquired by Skype. But music is an industry not for the faint of heart, with its complex web of rights related to publishing, recorded works, use on social media, content ID hangups, and any number of scenarios that can stifle even the most promising idea or platform. There are so many corpses along the way, from Napster to LimeWire to MySpace and so on. And as the music business has evolved, so has the needs of its creators. From Splice's point of view, here's what music makers don't need: an expensive recording studio with all manner of gear and instruments that charges by the hour, cost-prohibitive platform-specific plugins that you may or may not end up using, opting instead for cracked versions that may or may not work as a piece of music progresses from one person or platform to another. Steve explains the mechanics of the company in this interview, which we should point out includes some sector-specific terms, like DAW, D-A-W, for Digital Audio Workstation. Those who make the sounds that populate Splice are also benefiting, financially. They earn a cut of every download of their sound, and a popular sound, like one from the Oliver pack, named for one of Splice's top creators, can be downloaded more than a million times. The COVID pandemic has only helped Splice grow as more people are indoors tinkering with music production. In fact, a recent study noted that 68% of independent artists made more music during COVID, and 36% did more online collaboration during lockdown. This is all good news for Splice, and brings more challenges for Steve Martosi, who's managing a staff of over 200, a third of which were hired during the pandemic. His ambition and passion is what drives Splice daily, and Steve has done an admirable job marrying the tech with the music, as this conversation, which took place in December 2021, reveals.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Welcome back to Strictly Business. Here's our talk with Splice founder and CEO, Steve Bartosi. Something that I really love that you guys wrote, and I think it's a good entry into your musical background. It says on the site, we're people who love music to the point of distraction. Explain that, and also explain, you know, what you kind of grew up with, so what informs your musical taste.
Oh, wow. I mean, look, in terms of the distraction thing, there's so many of the Splice employees are musicians themselves or just, you know, rabid music fans. I've got a whole studio of stuff here in the background that's a constant inch away from distracting me from doing work at all times, which is really fun. But look, for me personally, you know, my journey started pretty young. I remember getting into Pearl Jam. By ninth grade, I had snuck out of the house to go to a concert of theirs at Randall's Island. And it was, there was mosh pits and all this, like the live music experience. And I remember I actually did that alone and ran into some friends who were willing to give me a ride home, but they had done so many encores this night. It's like a very famous Pearl Jam show. And they were like, we can give you a ride home. I'm like, but they wanted to leave before it was over and I wouldn't leave. So I ended up going home by myself because I needed to see the whole show. You know, live music in particular and music that, you know, music just gets me. You know, the vision statement for the company is a world of more transcendent musical highs. And that's like a little hippie-ish, right? But it's for two sides. It's that fans with those deep connection to music, but it's also for the creators. And, you know that like when you're in your flow state, when you're in your musical bliss creating, it's the best feeling in the world. And, you know, our goal is to create that for musicians, particularly through their relationship with technology. So yeah, it's a great vision and the employees kind of represent it very well.
Do you have any like musical background? Did you study music at all or are you self-taught?
Honestly, like music for me as a creator was just difficult. I would try because I loved it, but I would be pretty bad. Like I played a pretty bad guitar and I would try, but it just like the dexterity, my rhythm was always off and I couldn't really connect. But you know, I did connect on the fan side and also this like collaborative fan side. You know, I know we discussed this earlier. We're both fans of the band Phish and I found them in 10th grade and, you know, I've gone to almost 200 Phish concerts and hundreds of this other band, the Disco Biscuits, in which I'm kind of a collaborator of theirs and help come up with different ideas and write set lists and all that kind of fun stuff. So like I found my niche in giving the most I can to the thing that I love. And that has been really by building technology. I say code is my canvas.
Okay, so explain the reticence of the investment world to go into music, which I imagine has actually probably changed in the last few years because there's so much money being poured into music copyrights right now.
From a making money perspective, you know, music is really difficult. And it's one of those ones that VCs really just do not want to invest in because for a good reason, right? For many times, there's been so many great ideas that have been killed from rights issues and people not solving things the right way there. The other big fear that people had for a long time, and it's changing now a lot, is what is the total addressable market of music, especially music creation? How many people are actually creating music? And, you know, there's so few companies that had any numbers that they could find at scale that it would make it feel very, very small. But, you know, as I had seen, you know, if you go to any of the torrent, the piracy websites, you know, you literally see it. It's like Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Office, the Adobe stuff, and then all the music creation apps. So this is like the most downloaded software in the world. And the industry just doesn't believe because they haven't seen people pay for it. So the mix of rights issues that all these great ideas they've invested in over the years have had that have failed, and then assuming that creation has got to be smaller than, you know, the listening side with all these things, that was a struggle for a long time.
And you've said a third of the world makes music.
I mean, yeah, I've said that, and I think that, you know, if you think of all the kids in public school in the U.S., like I remember playing the recorder. It wasn't a choice. you know, on top of that, all the people who, you know, bang on a drum and, you know, have some inclination, like music's our universal language of humanity. And similar to me as a kid, the analog world can be very difficult. You know, picking up a guitar for the first time and it sounding good is nearly impossible. So we talk about this creator curve, which is like the percentage of people who are inspired to try to create is the top. Then can you make something you like? There's a huge drop off from, are you inspired to try? Can you make something you like? You know, can you make something other people like, which means you have to share it, which is terrifying. And then can you make a dollar? Can you make a career? Can you be a superstar? And then those just drop off the whole way along. You know, a lot of our mission is to raise that curve up. More people inspired to try, more people having success earlier on. Digital and the laptop and, you know, potentially mobile interfaces, these things make it easier to get to that point where you don't just give up out of frustration. You know, I want people to be able to see themselves as a lifelong musician, not just to say like, oh, I'm not musical, I can't do that. So I think there's so much opportunity to convert all these people who love it and give them a real shot.
So it's interesting because the name Splice, it's an analog term, right? It's mm-hmm. it's about cutting a piece of tape and yeah. making an edit. And mm-hmm. this is about the most like non-analog platform I could think of. I guess we should actually just explain for the layman sure. what is the purpose of Splice.
So if we really think about it, collaboration and bringing things together is the kind of like centerpiece and why the name works so well. Because really, you know, that the splicing part isn't the slice, it's putting the two pieces together, that edit. And, you know, fundamentally, I always look at Splice as a collaboration company in music. And we started off with, a backup and version control system that allowed people to collaborate on session files. And then there were a lot of problems with that where people would try to work with each other, but they wouldn't have the same sounds and the same tools. So we needed to fix that. And we launched Splice Sounds, which is our, you know, experience for accessing royalty-free samples and loops. You know, low monthly subscription rate. You can use these things royalty-free in your track, no attribution necessary. And that was a huge hit, right? Because so much of that was being done through buying these a la carte banks of sounds that were, you know, 400 sounds, and you might want one of them. Or you just end up pirating it because the business model didn't make sense. You know, we really came in and got really known for that. We also have a marketplace of plugins, which are really the digital tools people use in the space to create music. And we sold those on a model that made sense to artists as well. We did this rent-to-own model, which allowed people to not have to pay up front for $600 for a tool they might not like. And so we really just listened to the frustrations that users were having with essentially trying to enable creative flow, both for the individual artist, but more interestingly, across the world and between people so that they could truly collaborate with each other. You know, we've been evolving. We've added education. We've got our own creator tools now on our creator plan. And there's a lot more over the next year that are going to continue to see, you know, how Splice is connecting this entire creator ecosystem. And so fundamentally, I think the name really works when it's applied to that ethos of collaboration.
And this isn't an open ecosystem.
You know, you hit me on that's a pain point for me. I want it to be an open ecosystem. Mm-hmm. In fact, our value proposition that we use inside the company talks about building an open ecosystem. And with something like sounds, the need for trust in the library, both from a quality perspective, because we can't waste your time on bad sounds, and on a rights perspective, are so important that we've had to very much work with, you know, trusted partners with strong content guidelines and all that to open it up. We have an older part of the system that our community tab that was like an open ecosystem for sharing session files. We're going to revamp that whole concept. We are really growing Discord right now. If you're a producer and you haven't checked out our Discord, it's grown really fast. There's over 20,000 producers on it right now. And there's some incredibly cool beat battles and challenges and drops going on there. And so my goal is to actually open this up, Shirley, as much as I can. And it's just about, you know, building the right processes and technology so that everyone can share their works in progress, their collaborative pieces with each other and monetize them. We have a lot of in-house producers now who create content for us. We work with a growing number of artists and amazing sound designers from around the world. Like, we have whale sounds on the platform, glacier sounds, you know, like really trying to grow the library out. My friend Gio Israel has done a really great set of sounds. He started with this Middle Eastern Essentials pack, and it's just capturing these instruments that it would be so hard to find, you know, anywhere else. You know, we're constantly looking to expand it and grow it as much as we can, as long as we can hit the quality standards.
I loved what you guys did with musicians in Senegal, where you were able to record these local sounds, local instruments. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Senegal packs. Like, one of the things we're trying to do is really continue to bring the sounds of the world to Splice and figure out the best way for us to do that. And so in Senegal, we went in, I think we did 16 packs with local producers. We then also used the proceeds to build a school so that we could leave things better than when we found them. And so that's like kind of, you know, this is really... really fun part of the journey right now is to figure out how to bring these sounds of the world into the hands of producers everywhere and then leave things better than we found them.
Talk to me about the price point of Splice and also payouts to creators. I would love to run through some of the numbers with you. You guys have paid out $40 million to creators so far? Yeah.
That's an older number.
Definitely
crossed 55 now, probably getting close to 60, but definitely north of 55. I know that, which has been just wonderful. I mean, like, when the pandemic hit, it was, how can we put as many people to work as possible creating sounds? And so, like, essentially how the model works, right? We collect a monthly subscription. The kind of entry price point right now is $9.99. And you get a certain number of download credits every month. You can buy more, you can upgrade plans. But essentially, we take the revenue that comes in towards this and we do a pro rata distribution of it to what gets downloaded every month. So where are the credits spent? And then, you know, those pay out. And every artist deal is a bit different because we have some in-house content, we have licensed content. We really stress that everybody has a royalty associated with it. And remember, this is royalties, meaning just like percentage of subscription revenue, not royalties from the tracks that get created. Because, you know, if their stuff's successful, we want to see them be successful. And, you know, so much of what I'd love to see in the world is people who are signing really great deals throughout the kind of traditional music space and participating appropriately in things like their publishing and their masters. And like, we're constantly crafting the deals that make sense, giving every artist situation. I mean, sometimes we're a first artist check. We've had many people go full-time in music because of what they've been able to do on Splice. They're working, you know, whether it's at Jersey Mike subs or retail jobs and then able to make it from our platform, which is probably my favorite metric, is seeing people go full-time.
So does it ever become, because Splice sounds are used in so much music, I think I read somewhere that half of top 40 music.
And there was definitely a month where we saw those numbers like on the charts and it was wild, you know, like it is so widely used also internationally, you know, like we're pretty big in Korea, you know, we're big in these places around the globe that we're only starting to understand how wide it is. But yeah, the amount that gets used in commercial top tracks is quite high.
So how do you sort of combat the, you know, sameness? Like, when you create songs, you always have to be so ahead of the curve. You know, this seems a little bit more like on the curve. What's your take on that?
I mean, I love the question, right? Because it's something that I feel like we spent so much time in this digital era figuring out how to make everything accessible to everyone. And now we're like in this new era with everything happening in crypto and things like that around creating scarcity again, which has been a fascinating just transition in the world. And so for us, there's millions of sounds on Splice. Our algorithms have popularities and charts and things like that. So the very short term things you're going to see from us is the ability to just find the rare stuff. How do you really crate dive on the platform, which is exciting? Should the content be always available all the time, which is also interesting? That's what is limited edition. You know, we just released in beta a new version of our desktop app. It's kind of a foundation and the end of a whole lot of like platform work that we've done. So you get to the scale, you have a whole lot of issues to deal with getting up to it. And now we're in the spot where we can listen to like, what is happening now that we are this ubiquitous, and how do we evolve from here? You know, I will say, I think you're going to see the most innovative year ever from Splice in 2022. And addressing some of that stuff head on is something we talk about all the time.
Does it ever come up where Splice music is identified on content ID systems?
It does. It's not just Splice, right? This is this issue of kind of royalty-free content in general, and we get our name associated to it a lot just because we're like the brand in the space, and I'm okay with that. That you've got major platforms out there, tech platforms, you've got major right holders. These people have a lot of power and a lot of control over this. They've had to because of how much just flagrant UGC there was for a while using their stuff. But there is a middle ground that needs to be found that really, you know, independent creators are properly represented in that. And we have great ongoing dialogues with platforms around that. We have technical solutions to look at as well. And I think when we think about this relationship in general, we're going to be doing our best to represent the independent creators. This is a way bigger than Splice problem.
Yeah.
And I think that we have a really good angle and a really good way to help pave how things should look going forward.
I mean, especially now as we're like living in this creator economy, you know, I think the last thing you want is to have these hurdles. Once your music is created and finished and put out there, I can imagine that would just be awful to have to deal with. I think it's interesting that you guys have gotten into creating your own instruments, selling your own presets. If you'd asked me 3 years ago when I first heard of Splice that if this was the future of the company, I don't know that I would have gone there. That seems like a big load to take on. So explain your sort of pivot towards actually having proprietary instruments.
Yeah. Well, look, I think that we really see this as an entire ecosystem play to make music creation better. And we think there's a window to build connected tools. A lot of the tools in the space are not, they have no concept of connecting to the cloud. They have no concept of really like discoverability of content beyond what's already available on your computer. And so we're trying to change the relationship between the tools in the space and the content. You know, it's just the beginning. We just put out our own synth, we put out our own beat maker, and they, in the very first release, they didn't have a full cloud connectivity, but if you check it out now, they're starting to have the kind of functionality we've been looking for, where you have this giant library of content available at your fingertips and making it easy to discover exactly what you're looking for. The more context we can have about where you are on your track, where you are in your process, can we help you find that sound? You know, we love the partners and the stuff that we sell through Rent to Own. It's some best stuff in the world for creating. But we're also trying to both show people what the connected ecosystem can look like, and then try to make those tools and those like connections, those APIs and functionality available to anyone who's creating software in the space. So I think that's the thing that's really interesting and why, you know, I've been at this for so long, is I just think there's so many different parts of the creative process to improve for musicians that you'll probably see us in more unexpected places over the next few years too.
I feel like you're taking on these issues that are just, that have been many years of just difficulty, like the whole hacked plugins where you load it up into your DAW and then it doesn't work anymore because you don't actually have the proper license for it. Logic and Pro Tools and Ableton sort of have, I think, very similar structure, but then there's all these little things that you can't take from one to another. So these are like really pressing issues for music creators, music producers especially. So I guess I should thank you for taking care of these things.
And look, and by the way, it's going to be a long road till it's totally ironed out. That's where we're going to do the best we can with content and providing things that connect to those ecosystems. And then sometimes you have to build things too. And because we just don't think that producers, creators should be in a place where they are so limited from letting their creativity flow between each other. And that comes back to that kind of core concept as a collaboration company.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more from Steve Martosi of Splice.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
And we're back with Splice founder and CEO, Steve Martocci. Since we're just coming up on the end of 2021 here, do you know what the most popular sound was last year?
I think one of the most popular packs we had was Oliver's Power Tools 3. You know, we just did these Splice Awards, which we're really happy about. And it's a way that you celebrate. We did a couple different kind of editorial categories and then also gave out awards for people who had 1 million downloads or 500,000 downloads. And it's just so cool to see these sound designers. You know, some of the winners are known producers like Murda Beats. And then you have these people like Virtual Riot, you know, Origin Sound, Disciple Sound, these guys that are just sound designers and just so good at their craft. And to see them, to get a chance to honor them, surely reminds me a lot of, you know, what you and Variety have done with Hitmakers. We've collaborated on that. We're getting a little nerdy with it, you know, like getting down and really showing the art that is sound design. You know, we were able to give those awards out. We still got 8 days left, 9 days left in this year. Let's see where these charts end up at the end of 2022. Oh, Shirley, one thing I left out is that the Oliver, you know, the stuff from Oliver's pack that you might have been hinting at is his sounds have showed up on Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now. Doja Cat, Say So, hits from Justin Timberlake, Karol G, and Marshmello. And someone even said there's a Oliver sound on the new Adele album too. Can I get it? What I love too is they get recognized for it. I've had a couple of our producers come up to me and say, I get more recognized by people from my Splice packs and my Splice videos than my live music. Which is like, you know, you look at people who are inspiring to people in their lives and you form this bond to be like, oh my God, this person inspired me so much. But the fact that they can release this thing that you use and actually create from is like another level of inspiration and connection between, you know, a fan and a creator. It's this creator to creator bond. And that's also what I love about the future of community in the space. I think the progress happening on our Discord and what we're studying in there about how people want to connect with each other in this kind of more modern music creation ecosystem. We're really watching it and we're really thinking about how to foster more collaboration between people there.
Amazing. And especially during these last couple of years with COVID and everyone working at home.
I had one person at the Splice Awards, I'm going to let them be anonymous, but come up to me and they said, their accountant said to them, they're like, you know, you're really smart making that bet on doing Splice packs before this pandemic hit. A lot of their money came from live. And between that and putting as many creators as we did to work through it, yeah, it's definitely a feel-good part of the job.
Can I nerd out a little bit more and ask, how much is like submitted sounds versus assigned packs? Like things where you're like, you identify, we need more of this.
Oh man, I love that question. I don't know that I have a great answer to that. I do know that we have definitely actively tried to fill our gaps. You know, like reggaeton was a big genre that we were underserving for a while. And now I think we're also trying to show what's trending in which countries too. Like there's been a resurgence we saw this year in rock on our charts and like a lot of guitar searches on the platform. You know, I think we're constantly analyzing it. I don't have the number of where it breaks down, but if we have a hole, like truly, like if people are searching for things and we don't have it, you have to believe that we are going to immediately be commissioning that work. It's a healthy blend.
Got it. And I assume people tell you and you're like, hey, you don't have enough of this or you need this or... I'm sure it's constant.
Now you hear that. You also, you know, sometimes that's a failure of the most painful is when people are like, oh, you don't have enough live strings. I'm like, oh my God, we have so many live strings. That just means that like product experience didn't get you there.
Right. You didn't dig deep enough in the crate.
I'm not ever going to blame them. I'm going to blame me. And I'm going to say I didn't present those results to them enough. So I take that feedback as listen to them, go investigate, see if it's a content problem, a product problem, messaging, and how we can make that experience better. And so that's that other thing we talked about in the beginning about the team being musicians, is we can get that feedback inside the house from the team, but also they're all listening and they're like, yeah, I know. And like some of them have these ears on the content team. We're talking about identifying samples. Like they can, they know what kick. The ears are just incredible. And it, I'm just so impressed by the way their brains work, let alone like what they're able to do. There's just something I know I don't have that I really admire in them.
It's actually amazing because, you know, to be around musical people who have those ears, like, you know, the ears are just, they're an intangible that I think people probably really enjoy working for Splice. I don't know what your turnover is, but I would imagine someone who just, who has that golden sense of hearing, this would be a good place for them and a welcoming place.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an interesting mix between tech and music, right? And then what are we, a tech company, a music company? We're definitely straddling the line in those places. And the music roles are unique. And to be able to have these kind of music roles in a tech-backed environment, it's a rare sense of stability for people with these incredible musical gifts. And I always heard about the audiologists and stuff inside the labels who could identify things and litigate court cases and stuff. And then to see some of them firsthand in Splice, it's fun to watch.
Do you know any of the numbers right now in terms of the library or how many users?
Let me see what I got here. So in terms of numbers, we've got over 2.5 million sounds that are fully cleared on the platform. And then the team's been growing. I mean, my favorite thing that we said, we did our holiday haul. It's like a fun celebration on Friday for the team. And we had 70 new hires this year, and it took 2,317 interviews to bring 70 hires in. Just that, you know, they're super hardworking. And, you know, the growth is always solid. It's been interesting. It flows really big during certain months in COVID. Certain months people go outside. But, you know, we see about 50% growth from 2021.
So what about the future of Splice? Someone had asked me, does Splice stream music? Or could they one day be a streaming service? What's your take on that?
I would say no.
Okay.
And I would say very clearly why. I think that the needs of fans, from content discovery, all the tools and amazing things that happen on the pure, here's my master, I want to listen to it out in the world, that is the job of these incredible companies that dedicate all their time to it. Something like Spotify or the huge departments of Apple Music, like these people, they're dedicated to the fan experience. What I think Splice wants to be is the epicenter of creation, revamping our community so that people can discover the pieces of work from each other, the unfinished, the I want to work with you, I want you to remix this, I want you to create this with me, and it's unfinished. You know, unfinished might even be the wrong word. It's alive. It's a living piece of music. It's not a finished piece of music. And that, from a community, from any kind of like listening concept, the intention won't just be, you know, for background listening. It'll be about how do I integrate this into my creative process?
What about something like NFTs?
Yeah, look, the explosion in NFTs and crypto, it's been incredible to watch. And I think that we're really going through a boom right now in people really collecting digital art, which has been an incredible thing to see artists be able to monetize work that they never were able to do before digitally, or at least at scale. So I think that era has been really nice to watch. I think we're much more interested in just, as I said, how can we properly let people exchange content with each other, track it from a rights management standpoint, reward people for doing their kind of more creative elements. And I think there's a lot of things that are well-intentioned about what DAOs are trying to do. You know, some people are starting to think about real rights management on the NFT and blockchain side. I'd really like to focus on just making sure I'm solving the right problem. Like I know what my problem is. I know how I want it to be solved. And then look at, you know, crypto NFTs as a potential technical solution to the problem. I think we're much more focused on really defining how people should be working together, what the experience should be, and then understanding the underlying kind of technical implications of it with those kinds of things.
Have any Splice sounds or Splice creations ended up on TikTok?
Definitely, right? Because there's so much short form distribution. It's been a wild thing to watch. You're going to see something really cool from us pretty soon in terms of enabling short form creation on, particularly with TikTok and all these different things. As you know, we talk about that beginning of the journey. Am I inspired to create? Can I make something I like? Can I share it? There's an opportunity with the distribution mechanism of TikTok to really just, like, we talked about the asymptotic drop off of that curve, but being able to really raise it up where you're like, wait a second, I made something, I love it, I'm going to share it out to others. And so, like, that opportunity is fascinating as the beginning of someone's musical journey. It's so hard to even track where Splice music is going, but where we want to make it easier to flow directly to is something we're going to be experimenting with real soon.
But let's say, I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical. Let's say there's a loop that is just, you know, perfect for, like, you're in the mirror, you're not in the mirror, whatever. And that becomes a viral video on TikTok. Let's say 2 million people make videos out of it. That creator only gets paid once for that download because it's not royalty-based. So if it goes viral, yes, it's maybe bragging rights or maybe even the attribution of that sound, but there's no money to be made, right?
You are correct on that. I mean, some people come in to go find more of those samples. You're also not supposed to redistribute the sample in its original form. You really need to mix it into a creative work that is not just putting it out on its own, if you will. So there's some edges, I think, to the licensing there. And I think there's some opportunity there to think about what could the relationship with short form content be for these amazing sound designers of building the short form loops. And so have me back on another episode. And I think I'll have a lot more to talk to you about on this space.
I wanted to ask you about being a founder CEO. Because we just saw with Twitter, Jack Dorsey, I think, made a really interesting comment when he stepped down, which was the role of a founder CEO is changing. And I'm just curious what your take is on that.
I mean, look, I think you're hitting on something that's always really top of mind for me because I know how to found things. I've founded multiple things. I like building things zero to one. Being a CEO is a very different set of responsibilities. First, got to make sure there's a vision, got to make sure it's inspiring, got to make sure it's got a path to be impactful and big in the world. Got to make sure there's money in the bank so that you can execute and do this. And then you got to hire a great team to execute. And those are, you know, the primary responsibilities. And it's been a really long journey. I wouldn't be doing this for as long as I have, if I didn't continue to believe in how much, we're nowhere close to being the most iconic company in music. We're on a journey. We'll probably be one of the iconic companies in music history. That'd be awesome. But I am so inspired by what is left to do here, both on operationalizing the core of what we already have and figuring out how to build a relationship with innovation and creating things that are new. It's extremely challenging. Right. It is. This is not an easy task when your ambitions are as big as ours are. And, you know, I say the word ambition, it comes with what I think we can do for creators, the impact we can make, the positive impact we can make. I really believe, you know, where things like AI are going, that it's important that Splice has a seat at the table of that future. So we do it for creators in the industry. And I feel a sense of duty and responsibility towards doing something really hard, which is being a at-scale CEO. And I think there's so many lessons that you have to learn. There's a constant amount of growth that you need to do. And I'm always on that journey. It's not ending. You know, I think that's probably a number one topic for me that I think about the most because it is stretching into, you know, uncharted territory. It's over 200 employees at the company. Like, we have a lot of people who depend on us in the world for their creativity. And I want to do what's best for the organization, for the world, for the users. And man, that role is ever changing. And, you know, I think that I'm going to try to, you know, be the right steward for it and build the right team around me and make sure that we can go the distance.
Are there people in the greater entertainment community or the music industry that you admire?
As the tech side of the house, I can't not have, you know, a huge amount of respect for Daniel Ek and what, you know, Spotify has done, the going country by country and getting this thing rolled out and doing it in the face of all the adversity and getting to where he has, like, that just, you know, I'm always going to deeply have that. You know, it's been really great to be building my relationship with Matt Pincus, who's on our board and a huge supporter of Splice, like someone who's built independent publishing up like he has. Publishing is complicated and hard. And, you know, anyone in that space doing like really pioneering good, I'm always interested in the thank you for your service type mentality because it's so complicated and hard. And then, you know, I also, like, similar to you, I think, Shirley, I love the people who are trying to elevate people behind the scenes. Right? Like when, especially like in this era of representing writers and producers and treating them at the next level, like what the Milk and Honey guys do and Lucas does over there, Neil Jacobson doing that with his artists as well. Like it's about people really elevating the kind of behind the scenes and bringing them up in the way that they should be represented.
What is the valuation of Splice currently?
Great question. You know, like we haven't raised a round in a bit. We did raise the last round from Goldman. And it's honestly, it's not a question I like answering, right? Like I really, anytime we've announced a fundraising round, I talk about how much we've paid out to artists. And then we sneak in, yeah, we raised this amount of money. Because raising money isn't like a milestone. Yes, it's nice. Yes, it's good. But it's really about what are you doing with it? What impact are you making? What value are you creating? And it's very rare that we will put out any kind of celebrate. My team doesn't love it. We never celebrate our finances, our financings or anything like that. And, you know, they definitely want to. But, you know, for me, I do think we have an opportunity to build something uniquely big here because of how fragmented this space is and how broken music creation is and also how, you know, little attention has been paid to it for so many years. There's nice milestones along the way, but I really want to grow this into something that could become a multi-generational company. And I'm just going to keep focused on looking ahead there.
Steve, thanks so much for being on Strictly Business.
Shirley, thanks for having me. This is wonderful.
Tune in next week for another episode of Variety's Strictly Business.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card.
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.